Well, good morning, church. I was really hoping that the last time I preached back in March would be the first and last time I'd have to preach to you like this. But God has sustained us, and we're still in this trial of being separated. So I'm here. Please continue to pray that God will allow us to gather soon and pray for wisdom for Len and I and our elders as we think about how we balance our need to meet together in the regulations that we should follow. But today is a special day. It's Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and expecting mothers and grandmothers and even a few great-grandmothers out there. I hope you feel blessed today. And if your family doesn't look the way it normally does on this day, I've been praying for some special and simple joys in your house that God will give, and I pray you have those moments today. Special Mother's Day shout out to my mom. Thank you so much for your laugh, your love, your cooking, and all the time you've blessed me with. Love you, Mom. And to Judy, my mother-in-law, let's try this. Mo Tsun Si Fai Law. That's my best Cantonese Mother's Day for you. Thank you for stocking my home with my favorite ingredients and for loving me as a son. For my grandma in Mississauga, wishing you a great day. Love you too, grandma. So blessed to have two grandmothers, two mothers who love God and are faithful to him. What a blessing and undeserved grace. But I know for some people this is a hard day. That might be the first Mother's Day without your mother. There is a variety of reasons Mother's Day can be sad, and our hearts are with you. We grieve with you, and you are loved. But this week, we're going to take a step back from our normal text-based sermon through Luke for a special Mother's Day tribute. My desire is that I'm hoping it will be no less based on the Word of God, but instead of taking one passage and using that to dictate my topic, I want to look at what the whole Bible has to say about the topic of motherhood. I'm calling this a biblical theology of motherhood. So I'm going to try to start at the beginning and work our way through to see how God develops the idea and what he teaches us in the whole counsel of his word. I'm so thankful that we have an expositional preaching ministry that makes us submit to the text rather than submitting to whatever we want to talk about that week. But it is good to take a step back and understand God has big ideas for us. And this morning, we're going to examine motherhood in light of Scripture. You've all heard the phrase, you may not be a mother, but we've all had a mother. And that's true, and it's equally true in the Bible. Even Jesus himself. Jesus did not have an earthly father, but he had an earthly mother. Have you ever thought about that, moms? That in God's plan of redemption, he chose to make mothers central even in the incarnation of his own son. From the first pages of Scripture to the end, the visible and invisible hands of mothers are all over influencing this story. So this morning, we're going to look at God's design and grace in motherhood to see that a mother is a woman, a mother is an office, a mother is a weapon, and a mother is a warrior. Mothers, you deserve our thanks for the works you do every day to serve the kingdom of God, often without thanks and invisible. And we are desperately in need of you to keep doing what you're doing and do what you do better and more for the glory of God. And I hope that God's word is an encouragement to you and a fuel in that fire. So our first point might be the most odd of our time together, that a mother is a woman. A mother is a woman. Not all women are mothers, but all mothers are women. This might seem like a strange thing to say, but in a world of gender reassignment surgery, gender dysphoria, in a world where biological men are setting world records in women's sports, and where the UK, a court in the United Kingdom in late 2019, had to set down the first legal definition of what a mother is. And this is the definition the judge came up with. Being a mother, whilst hitherto always associated with being female, is the status afforded to a person who undergoes the physical and biological process of carrying a pregnancy and giving birth. in almost 1,000 years of English common law, this is the first time in 2019 that they had to define the term mother. And as of this month, that decision has been appealed and will probably end up at the Supreme Court and the Human Rights Tribunal. And that's insanity. All of this confusion means that this first point is critical for us to understand and to witness to a broken world. A mother is a woman particularly designed by God to do the work of being a mother, should the Lord bless you with a child. Now hear me on this. Hear me. Being a mother does not increase or decrease your value as a woman. Being a mother does not increase or decrease your value as a woman. It is simply a natural extension of God's design for women. Only women can be mothers. The first time we encounter the mother in the biblical text is Genesis 2. God has created the earth, created Adam, set him in the garden to work and tend it, and everything up until this point has been good and very good. And then in chapter 2, verse 18, God makes the first negative moral statement about his creation. Genesis 2:18. Then, I'm going to read it from the Bible here, even though I've got it. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heaven, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Where am I here? Brought him to the man. Adam praises God's good gift in verse 23, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Then God makes this categorical statement to his people about the function and the distinction between man and wife, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's our first mention of the mother before there has been any children. Man and woman are created as distinct entities, only to be joined together again in one flesh. That marriage bears fruit, which are children, and a new union of the family is created. Then that family is divided again as children leave their fathers and mothers and create their own unit. All of that is to say that the distinct differences between men and women are important and on purpose. Biology, anatomy, even those emotional differences between men and women are different and important. Both men and women are of equal value and equal dignity as image bearers of God, but they bear that image differently. Without a man and without a woman in marriage, in a marriage covenant together, there is no secure basis for either of the genders to take the role of mother and father to bear children in obedience to Genesis 1:28. God has a process, a step-by-step process in mind for the family and for the genders. Now, that's a pretty controversial thing to say in our day and age, unfortunately, that men and women are different, mothers and fathers are different, boys and girls are different. And those differences are good, natural, and right. I remember one time as a child, and I think most parents have crossed this bridge at some point, I was left alone, me, myself, my sister, and some craft supplies. So naturally, I ended up cutting my sister's hair and cutting my own hair. I cut my bangs right down to my head, as short as they could go. And I went downstairs when I realized something had gone awry. I walked down the stairs with my hand to my head to show my mother and my father. One of them laughed and one of them cried. Men and women, mothers and fathers are different, and I'll let you decide who is who in that situation. So to all the mothers and would-be mothers and new mothers, old mothers, the first thing you can do from a big biblical perspective to serve your family and the church is to be a biblical woman. If you're married, that means being a helper for your husband, giving your first fruits to your home, developing a deep connection with God and His Word. If you're not married, cultivating a godly femininity, that's a tough word, and good works. Mothers, women, you are the emotional and nurturing bedrock of your family and of the church. Celebrate that femininity, that special design. Don't let the world define you, and don't waste your time trying to be a biblical man. Let God's goodness and His grace define you, resting in the assurance and peace that God has designed you that way and for the role He's given you. You can walk all the chapters of motherhood and womanhood in God's grace and God's peace, and really only in God's grace and peace. If you need one extra verse to show the importance of women, Genesis 3:20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Without women being mothers, there's no life, there's no hope, there's no future. Each mother represented in this church and in this world is a mother of the living. By the power and grace of God, the miracle of life happens in the womb of the woman. And that's one of the ways that the woman uniquely reflects God's character. Creation of life, it is a good and glorious thing to be a woman and a mother. A mother is a woman. Our second point is that a mother is an office. Mother is an office. Mother is not just what children call their female parent. Mother is an office, a role, a position set up by God to be respected and obeyed. Genesis 2:24, which we looked at just a few minutes ago, we see that mother and father are introduced as heads of the family. They bear children. The children leave and cleave from father and mother and create their own unit. But this is a pattern of setting up mother as an authority, official figure in the house. This continues throughout the Bible, and it is not casual, it is official. Exodus 20, verse 12, where we have the Ten Commandments. It says this, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you." This commandment of God is put in the same list as "you shall have no other gods before me" and "you shall not murder." A life of dedication to God looks like honoring your father and your mother. In this passage, God sets up the office of motherhood as an official authority, an official government of God. To back this up, God actually sets rules and consequences for obedience and disobedience. Let's read this is Deuteronomy 21:18, not Genesis 21:18. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, he will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, 'This is our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall purge the evil from your midst. And all Israel shall hear and fear." I think I heard every child out there in the internet gasp and every parent in the room go, amen. That's a really tough reality that God outlines there. And we're not going to explore what that means for us today at this point. But what it does show is that mothers and fathers have been given power that's on par with government authorities in their homes, the authority to reward good behavior and punish bad behavior. Mothers are given authority by God to rule and reign in their sphere of influence, mainly their home. This concept of motherhood keeps going throughout the Bible. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." The job of teaching and grooming children for their adult lives in the world is given to fathers and mothers as an office of authority. And the thing that's so unique about offices of authority is that once they're established, they cannot be easily given up or transferred to someone else. My mother, as a trustee of the Algoma District School Board, amazing thing, can't just walk out the door and stop trusteeing. Someone else has to take her place. The prime minister is the only one who can appoint cabinet ministers. He can't defer that to another person. If a prime minister fails to act, the country suffers. In the same way, if a mother fails in her role, the family suffers. Proper execution of authority is required for the success of a family. There are no exceptions. So when I would take my regular temper tantrums as a child, usually in the grocery store, I can remember a few of those, and I was rebellious and disrespectful, I deserve the spanking I got. My mother rightly disciplined or rightly said, "Your father will deal with this when he comes home." That is a good thing. That is a godly thing. That is mothers and fathers doing what they are built to do. I'm really thankful it wasn't a stoning, but it was a good thing. Mothers, God has created you in a totally unique way and given you a role to exercise authority and have responsibility in your home. I talked about this in a message on Proverbs 31 a couple of months ago in our Sunday night service. You can listen to it online. It's a high calling, and by God's grace, you can walk that path with God's strength in your bones to raise children and support a husband for the praise of God's glorious grace is amazing, and it is not an easy thing. But please do not neglect your office. You are responsible for it to your family and to God. You know what? We need to use the wisdom and experience of the body of Christ to help ourselves, to help. Mothers need help. One of the greatest blessings Esther and I have had is being invited into the homes of people with children who are just that many years ahead of us. To see kids and parents experiment with discipline, with devotions, to see what works and what doesn't. It's incredible. Such a blessing. We're not meant to go into parenting or motherhood alone or blind. The reason you have a mother is to glean from her experience. The reason we should be sitting in this building side by side with a mother on your left and in your small group, a mother beside you, is so we can learn. We don't have to be alone. We can ask questions. Younger women, you need to seek out older women. Older women, you need to use your experience, like the book of Titus says, to disciple younger women. That's what the church is for. Do not neglect your office or try to do it alone. We need mothers to simply be biblical mothers for God's glory. And you can do that because it is an official office in your home established by God. You didn't make it up. God did. A mother is a woman, a mother is an office, and a mother is a weapon. A mother is a weapon. At this point, our discussion turns from the earthly purposes of motherhood, that is to raise children, build families that love and worship God, to more eternal realities. We start to turn our eyes upward to see what God has been doing through all of human history and why he created mothers in the first place. A mother in the hand of the good and righteous God is a weapon against the devil and his schemes in the world. For this, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 3. I seem to always be in Genesis chapter 3 in sermons. But in chapter 3, Eve has listened to the serpent. She has eaten of the fruit. She's given it to her husband who is with her, and he has eaten. And God comes looking for them. And they are cursed for their sin. The serpent is also cursed, and in 3:15 we read this, "I will put enmity between your offspring and her, Eve's offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." One of God's first actions after the fall of mankind is to put into practice a plan of redemption, a crushing of the serpent's head. And the unique thing we see in this verse is that he doesn't do that through the son of the man, which might be expected. He says it will be the woman's offspring, the seed of the woman. Spoiler alert, his name is Jesus. God's plan for motherhood, one of his main plans, is an unbroken chain of grace that starts with Eve and ends with Jesus. The entire story of the Bible has this theme running under the surface. Mother after mother, child after child, all moving towards this promised offspring who would crush the devil and redeem God's people. The entire Bible is a story about Jesus. Adam and Eve, we've read about, we turn to Abraham and Sarah, and God calls them out of their homeland into a new land, where he promises Sarah, I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. And the covenant set with Abraham and Sarah can be summed up, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. From Abraham and Sarah, we eventually focus on their great-great-grandson, Judah, who's blessed by Jacob, saying, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, that there will always be a king over Israel from the tribe of Judah. King David is the first true king of Israel, who is promised, your throne is established forever. Sadly, after David and Solomon, the eight nations of Israel and Judah fall into sin and are exiled, and it seems that all is lost. But in the midst of those dark days, the prophet Isaiah writes, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. The promise of an offspring of Eve coming to set things right. And 700 years after Isaiah was written, we see an angel appear to a young girl named Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And to Joseph in Matthew 1, the angel says he will save his people from their sins. Do you hear the language in that? Do you see how it harkens back to the garden, to the promises made to Abraham, Jacob, David, all through the Bible? In this simple moment of a young girl becoming pregnant, something that's happened for thousands and thousands of years, God is finally bringing his promise of an offspring of Eve who will crush the head of the serpent to a climax. And this isn't done through a climactic appearing of an angelic warrior with a sword in his hand riding on the wings of death itself, though Revelation says that day is coming. No, the appearing of Jesus to save sinners came through the womb of a mother. Jesus is the seed of the woman. Mothers, grandmothers, would-be mothers of Bethel, I don't have to remind you that your children are not the very offspring of God. You are aware of that. But God's wielding of motherhood as a weapon against the enemy is not limited to simply the birth of Jesus. Each and every child born into this world, raised to love and fear the Lord Jesus Christ and worship his name, is a soldier in the ranks of God's army, the church, against which the gates of hell will not prevail. The unique role of bearing children was not given to the man. We couldn't handle it. It was given to the woman. Special and unique to bear children, fill the earth and subdue it in the name of God. Being a mom is one of the most undervalued roles in society and one of the most critical. You are precious, you are valued, you are loved by your God and Savior, and you are critical for the purposes he wants to accomplish all over the world. Without mothers, there would be no church. Mothers are a weapon in the hands of a holy God to bring the earth under his rule and reign and redemption. So, a review. A mother is a woman uniquely designed by God to carry out the task of motherhood and femininity as bearing the image of God. A mother is an office given authority and dominion by God to rule and shape her family. A mother is a weapon in the hands of God to bring about his purposes of salvation and revival in the earth. And finally, a mother is a warrior. Mother is a warrior. In the trenches every day, fighting battles unseen to bring glory to God. Motherhood in the Bible is not a sterile job. The act of bearing children has been one of pain and suffering and uncertainty. Eve was cursed with multiplied pain in childbearing. Her first sons, Cain and Abel, were the perpetrator and victim of the first murder. Mothers struggle with infertility and hopelessness all over the Bible. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth all beg God to open their wombs and bless them with children. And once they do, Rebecca's children fight for their whole lives over authority and preeminence. Rachel's son Joseph is sold into slavery by his half-brothers. Naomi and Ruth suffer as widows and outcasts. The many wives of David and Solomon are forced to watch their families implode as they murder each other and fight for the throne. And of course, Mary, who is told by Simeon in the temple, a sword will pierce your own soul also. And 30 years later, she stands at the foot of her son's cross, looking up at him, unrecognizable as a human, and she weeps. And Jesus from the cross looks down and says, "Mother, behold your son." And he looks at his friend John and says, "Behold your mother." He makes sure his mother is cared for in his dying breaths. The Bible does not have rose-colored glasses on when it comes to motherhood. It's not an easy task. Women are called to step into the line of fire and have their hearts broken every step of the way. Conception, bearing the child, birthing the child, raising a child, it's a war. Throughout history and to this day in many parts of the world, one of the leading causes of death among women is childbirth. Let that sink in. For most of human history, the call to be a mother was literally the call to put your life on the line for the next generation. Mothers are warriors. If motherhood has been a fight for you, know that God sees you and he is with you. The cross of Jesus secures your identity and salvation forever in Christ. Believe in him. The challenges are many, the energy needed, the long hours, the vigilance, the planning for the present, the looking forward to the future, and then multiply that, but every child having different needs, it's exhausting. Some of you are struggling even to become mothers, and you feel that deep desire to step into this role that God's designed you for, but he's not answered that prayer yet. Some of you have had bad experiences with your own mother. On Mother's Day, it's a reminder that everything I've said does not describe your mom. Some of you are without your mother today. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." But hear this word as well, this word of grace for you. My grace, this is God speaking to us, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Come to Jesus, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you.
From the first mother to today, it has been a battle you need God's help for. You need the Holy Spirit to bring about change in your heart. You need to be forgiven so that you have the power and freedom to forgive those in your life, mothers. Whether it's your husband, whether that's your children, even forgive your own mother. You need to know the Father is for you. He has called you. He knows you. He loves you. He sees every tear you have ever cried, no matter what time of the night it is. Psalm 56:8. I had never read this verse before till recently. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? What a beautiful line. God also says this to you, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Women, mothers, you have a high calling in God's kingdom. It's not easy, but it is good. A mother is a warrior fighting to take ground from the evil one every single day. A mother is a woman. A mother is an office. A mother is a weapon. A mother is a warrior. Many of us can't be with our mothers today. We can't travel. We can't get things delivered on time. And that's sad. We've lost mothers to this virus all around the world, or other sicknesses are just the passage of time. Celebrations can often multiply sadness. Thank God that we have a high priest who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses and who is without sin so we can know our future is secure. Mothers, you are a gift from God to us. And being a mother is a gift from God. The entire story of the Bible turns on the activities and efforts of mothers, seen and unseen. So thank you. Thank you for your sacrifices and your diligence in seeking God's will for your family. He's designed you for your role. He will give you the strength. What I'm saying here, I'm not up here giving you rhetorical devices to make you feel good. I'm not sending good vibes your way on Mother's Day. I want you to hear God's words for you. You need that encouragement. We're going to sing a song together to close our service. Then I'll come back up with a few more words and pray. But mothers, thank you. Celebrate your day. Let's sing together.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, I worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great.
Holy name, sing like never.
Thank you for being with us. Hope you have a blessed Mother's Day. Children, if you haven't hugged your mom yet and said you love her, go do that. Older kids, you can do that too. I'm going to do it when I get back, if you can. I know if you can't be with your mother, then you need to make that phone call, that FaceTime call, and spend a little extra time than you normally would loving on your mom and thanking her for what she's done. And mothers, we're praying that you will be blessed along your journey of motherhood, wherever you are on that path, as God shapes you into the woman, the official, the weapon, and the warrior he's made you to be. We love you. You are loved. There is a link in the description of this video as well for a prayer request. If you have one on this Mother's Day, please put it there, and the prayer team here at Bethel will receive those and be able to pray through those throughout the week. That would be a blessing if you would do that. Let's pray to our God to send us on our way. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word, for the gift of your son, for the gift of our moms. I pray your blessing on each home, that you would just have your grace and your love fill the homes of Bethel Bible Chapel. That would be a witness to the neighborhoods in which our family members live. That your love would rule and reign in our hearts. Pray your blessing as we continue to wait on your time to bring us back together so all the moms can be part of this family of God again. And I ask you, give us wisdom and planning for that. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the gift of Jesus who saves us from our sins. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.